What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Chip giant Intel could make its largest acquisition ever. Plus, the rising death toll from heavy flooding in Germany and surrounding regions, and why some pandemic layoffs might be permanent.
There were a lot of companies in many different industries talking about how can we reduce headcount permanently.
It's Friday, July 16th. I'm Keith Collins, filling in for Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal. Here's the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. We're exclusively reporting chip giant Intel is in talks to buy chip production company Global Foundries for about $30 billion. It would be Intel's largest acquisition ever and mark an important shift for the company as it looks to move beyond chip design and to manufacture them for others. According to people familiar with the matter, a deal may not be reached and Global Foundries could continue with its planned IPO. Global Foundries is owned by an investment arm of the Abu Dhabi government. Any talks don't appear to include Global Foundries executives. A spokeswoman for the company said it isn't in discussions with Intel. Rescuers in Germany and neighboring countries were racing to find survivors from the region's worst flooding this century, as the death toll rose to around 100. Hundreds of others are still missing. Some 1,300 people alone are currently unaccounted for in a German town about 35 miles south of Cologne, according to local authorities, though this may in part be due to mobile phone services being interrupted in parts of the region. German Chancellor Angela Merkel was in Washington, D.C. on a farewell visit, as we mentioned on yesterday's show. At a news conference alongside President Biden, she expressed condolences to those who had lost loved ones in the disaster. She said the government would provide all the support it can to rescue and relief efforts. President Biden also expressed his condolences. The two leaders said in meetings they discussed a range of issues, including the pandemic and increasingly assertive behavior by Russia and China. Biden commented on his administration's coming advisory to U.S. businesses operating in Hong Kong as China tightens its grip on the city.
The situation in Hong Kong has deteriorated, and the Chinese government is not keeping its commitment that it made how it would deal with Hong Kong. And so it is more of an advisory as to what may happen on Hong Kong. It's as simple as that and as complicated as that.
In the advisory set to be issued today, the Biden administration warns businesses and individuals working for them that they are subject to a restrictive national security law that Beijing imposed on Hong Kong a year ago. A Chinese foreign ministry spokesman reiterated Beijing's opposition to, quote, U.S. interference in China's internal affairs under the pretext of the Hong Kong issue. And when Amazon founder Jeff Bezos heads to space next week with his company Blue Origin, a fellow passenger will now be an 18-year-old. Dutch teenager Oliver Damon, who graduated from high school last year, is replacing an anonymous auction winner who paid roughly $30 million for a seat aboard the rocket. Blue Origin cited scheduling conflicts for why the auction winner decided not to join the flight, which is scheduled for July 20th. The U.S. Commerce Department is set to release retail sales figures for June this morning that will offer investors a fresh look at the health of the American consumer. Shares of GameStop, AMC Entertainment, and other meme stocks have been encountering some turbulence this week. These stocks previously enjoyed red-hot rallies thanks to trades by individual investors on Reddit and other online forums. WSJ columnist Rochelle Toplensky joins us to discuss the recent volatility. Good morning, Rochelle.
Morning, Keith.
So specifically, how have some of these meme stocks been doing this week?
Well, it's generally been a tough week, basically, for the meme stocks. GameStop, the one who started it all, is down almost 13% this week. And AMC, which is another favorite, is down nearly 20% in the week. And that's after making a small recovery on Thursday. Clover Health Investments has also lost about 38% this month and trades close to the $9 a share mark where it started out its meme stock rise from. And even one of the latest favorites, Carver Bank Corp, took a 30% hit this week. So it's been pretty rough.
Does this volatility appear likely to diminish the appetite for these stocks among small investors?
Well, that's really the million-dollar question. Some people will be nursing big losses after these falls, obviously, and so they might duck out quietly. But for many others, based on what they're writing online, they seem to be taking the lower prices as an opportunity to buy more.
Rochelle Toplensky in London, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Keith. Thanks.
Coming up, not all jobs lost during the pandemic are expected to come back. What this might mean for businesses and workers after the break.
You're a growing business and you can't afford to slow down. If anything, you could probably use a few more hours in the day. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
As the economy continues to recover, job openings are at a record high, up to 9.2 million, according to the Labor Department. But many jobs lost during the pandemic aren't coming back. A lot of businesses that laid off workers last year predict they'll need fewer employees in the future. Let's find out how companies are making do with less and what this means for workers. With our reporter, Lauren Weber, she spoke with our Charlie Turner.
Lauren, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So, Lauren, a lot of companies spent the past year, when their outlook was uncertain, reviewing their operations. What did they discover?
Well, they discovered that there were ways that they could save money going forward. So a lot of them let go of people because we were in an economic crisis, a health crisis, demand cratered in certain industries, including hospitality, leisure, air travel. So they let go of a lot of people because they just didn't have work for them to do. And in the meantime, they looked at ways that they could retool their operations to see if they could figure out ways to operate more efficiently going forward.
And this isn't unique to this recession. I mean, it's happened before, hasn't it?
This is often what happens during recessions. You know, as one economist told me, when demand is low, it's actually a very good time to review your operations and see if you can automate certain processes or do things differently. Because when you're making changes, maybe you have to shut down a factory for a little while. Maybe you have to shut down some of your locations. You're not hurting demand that much. You're not going to make too many customers angry. You're already dealing with low demand.
Lauren, how widespread is this trend? Is it across many industries?
When I was reviewing transcripts from conference calls that company executives were having with analysts and investors, there were a lot of companies in many different industries talking about how can we reduce headcount permanently. You know, it's hard to say permanently because there may be no such thing when you're talking about long-term economies. But you know, for the long term going forward. And I noticed this happening in hospitality businesses, restaurants, hotels. It was happening in with manufacturers, railroad companies. Some of these changes that they were talking about had been in process before the recession and before the pandemic. But they were able to, in many cases, accelerate the changes as demand was going down.
Well, can you give us some examples of companies that have learned to function with a smaller workforce?
Sure. There's one that's kind of consumer-focused or consumer-facing. That's a good example because people will notice some of these changes. A lot of hotel companies, including Hilton and a company called Host, which owns a lot of Hyatt and Marriott hotels, they're talking about eliminating daily housekeeping. That's probably going to disappear in all but some of the most expensive hotels. Hilton recently announced some changes. They had started talking about this last year in 2020. Then they recently announced that they would start cleaning rooms in many of their hotels every 5 days. People can still request daily housekeeping or more often, having their rooms cleaned more often, but the default will be having a room cleaned every 5 days or, you know, as soon as somebody checks out so that it's obviously fresh for the next guest.
What do these changes mean for the overall economy, but also for workers?
I think we have to keep an eye on this because of what it means for employment and the workforce. You know, some of these are structural changes that are going to make it harder for some people to find jobs. You know, the hope always is that there are jobs being created in other parts of the economy to make up for these changes so that somebody who loses a job, say, as a hotel housekeeper, can relatively easily switch into a new job or career. But in practice, that's often not as easy as it sounds. Yes, those people might have some customer service skills, but a lot of that workforce is women. Often, they don't have a lot of education. Many are immigrants, may not speak great English. So even though there's tons of hiring going on, in other leisure and hospitality businesses, it may not be really easy for people to move into one of those openings. There's often a lag between when somebody loses a job and when they develop the skills they need for a new job.
Lauren, what's the outlook like for employment going forward? What will you be watching for?
I think the interesting thing will be to look at what happens with their headcounts in future years. So, of course, many companies reported that they had fewer employees in 2021 than they did at the beginning of 2020. That's obviously not universal. Companies like Amazon actually ended up hiring lots and lots of people, or Target or CVS, companies that actually saw higher demand during the pandemic. But what will be interesting will be to see in early 2022, when companies start filing their annual reports for the current year, we'll be able to see what happened with their headcounts even as the economy was coming back. We're in like an interesting moment right now because unemployment is still relatively high, and yet we also have a record number of job openings. And that was one reason why I wanted to do this story, was because, you know, anybody who's sort of reading the news day to day would think that companies are hiring like crazy. But I think it's important to keep in mind that there's actually a lot of firms that are looking for ways to keep their headcount permanently lower.
Wall Street Journal reporter Lauren Weber. Lauren, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And finally, airlines are trying to put the COVID-19 pandemic behind them. But for Delta, it may be a bit harder. The airline is in the unfortunate position of sharing its name with a highly transmissible virus variant that has been linked to a new surge of infections worldwide. The Journal's Allison Sider has more.
Delta has said the variant, you know, concerns about the variant, the name of the variant, none of it is having any impact, that they're still seeing bookings come in pretty strongly. And, you know, they haven't seen any sort of drop off since the variant started causing a surge of cases. So, you know, I think, you know, ultimately it does not seem to be having much of an impact on their business. And, you know, as the CEO, Ed Bastian, pointed out, you know, there's going to be new variants coming up right behind it with different names.
And that's What's News for Friday. We're back tonight with a new show. Feel free to leave us a rating and review wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Keith Collins, filling in for Mark Stewart for The Wall Street Journal. Have a nice weekend, and thanks for listening.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.